Hi there, everyone. This is Brayden and Tally Waller, and this is the Voice of My Beloved podcast. And today we are continuing our series on the love and purity message. We are going to continue to talk about the spirit of Elijah today, which we are so excited about. This is one of our favorite things to talk about. It's so important, and we feel like this is the message for this generation. Spirit of Elijah is one that goes and prepares the way of the Lord and makes ready a people for the Lord. And so, man, what better time? We are getting close to the return of Yeshua, and there needs to be a preparation before that happens. And that's what we've been talking here about over the past couple series, just about the importance of the preparation. It doesn't just happen, but a people have to be prepared. And so this happened the first time that Yeshua came. There was a preparation that happened. The people had to be ready for him to come. And so we have to engage in this in our generation as well. So we're going to be continuing today. And last week we talked about turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. And today we're going to talk about the enemy of the spirit of Elijah and just how to be engaged so that we don't get wiped out by this spirit that opposes the spirit of Elijah. So we're going to be looking at John the Baptist today. John the Baptist. I love talking about John the Baptist. He is such an interesting and amazing character. And I think, again, you know, because this whole spirit of Elijah picture, I think he's someone that we really need to look at and say, how did he live? What was he all about? Because he is the one that carried the spirit of Elijah in preparation for Yeshua's first coming. And so I feel like the more that we learn about him, the more that we understand him and how he aligned himself with the spirit of Elijah. And I think the more that we'll be able to do that ourselves in this generation. So John the Baptist, I like talking about some things that are specific to John the Baptist. He was a very interesting character.
Yes. We love interesting characters.
We love interesting characters. And I love that the Bible points that out. Like, I'm sure that there were a lot of interesting characters in the Bible, but like, they really pointed out some, like, they pointed out some key things, like, look at, this is what this guy looked like. And so, Brayden, why don't you answer the question since I have no one else here to ask, but John the Baptist, what did John the Baptist wear?
So, we've done this presentation several times on the road, so I know the answer to this question. It's, he wore camel's hair.
Camel's hair. Yeah. And I like to point that out. You know, it was pointed out in the scripture, and camel hair is like, I don't know if y'all have been around a camel before, but you look at the like coat of a camel and it's like, you know, it doesn't look like the most fuzzy, you know, oh,
like,
yeah,
rabbit fur or something like that.
Right. Right. It's not like, oh, I just wish I could rub up against that all day. Like, it's like, they're like scraggly and scratchy and stuff. So, and you know, it's like, why? I don't think it's what everyone was wearing, because the Bible specifically points out John the Baptist is wearing camel hair. Okay. Uh-huh. So he's got this camel hair, strange clothing. And then where does John the Baptist spend his time?
Out in the wilderness.
In the wilderness. Right. And it's, you know, in the wilderness, this isn't like, I'm sure this wasn't like the cool hangout place where everyone just went and hung out. Right.
Probably not.
And so he's like, he's spending his time in this, like, in the wilderness, out there in his camel hair, hanging out, and then he's eating some weird things. What is he eating?
Locust and honey.
Right. He's eating locusts and honey. Yeah. And so he's, you can see, like, and the Bible specifically points this out. He's an interesting character. He's eating locusts and honey, wearing these weird clothes.
They're delicious. Locusts are delicious.
Yeah. Brayden is probably one of the few out there that could tell you that.
With the right marinade, you can make anything.
Yeah.
Tastes really good.
It was funny because Brayden, actually, the first year we were married, we'd be out in the garden and stuff, and we'd find these grasshoppers or something, and he'd just pick them up and pull the legs off of them and eat them. So it's made a lot of the cousins have tried it now. because they're like, whoa, Uncle Braden, he eats grasshoppers. That's so cool.
I just love John the Baptist so much. I just want to follow in his footsteps.
Exactly. Right. That's part of it, guys. So you got to get ready. No, but I just love the calling that he had. He had a set apart calling. And, you know, I don't feel like necessarily that we have to, you know, eat our grasshoppers and wear the camel's hair and stuff today. But I do think that God has a specific set apart calling for this generation, for those that want to align themselves with the spirit of Elijah, because the world is going an opposite direction. The world is not embracing the spirit of Elijah. And so we're going to start looking strange, and it's going to get more and more that way as the coming gets closer. There's going to be a separation. And so I like to prepare people, you know, that as we decide to walk in this path, as we embrace this this call on our lives, there has to be a place where we say, I want to be approved by God more than I want to be approved by men. It's not a road for the apathetic that don't, you know, just want to be normal and not stick out or anything. You know, this has to be, I want to live my life as John the Baptist did. He was serious. It was worth giving his whole life, his every decision, what he ate, what he wore, where he went, all had to do with this calling that was on his life. And it was so big and so important that it was worth it. Every decision, it was worth handing it all over to God and what his purposes were. And so I know that we as a generation, every single one of us are called to walk in this. And so I encourage you all to embrace it, to embrace those areas in your life where God is calling you to walk in a different place, to walk in a place of set apartness.
Yeah. And just, you know, as Tally's saying, we just love this character of John the Baptist because he gives us a picture of what it's going to look like for the end time people of God that are preparing the way for the return of the Lord. And so just as John the Baptist, he was called, he was full of the Spirit. And I believe that's such a key point for us to know. He has the Holy Spirit that's just in him and on him. He's speaking in the power of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to give us the strength and the unction to stand against the tide. And so one of the things I love about John the Baptist, too, is he is actually refers to himself as a friend of the bridegroom. And so, you know, it's kind of a contrast because he's on one hand, he's this lover of God. He just loves God. He calls himself a friend of the bridegroom. But yet, on the other hand, he's got this really fiery side of countercultural, you know, he's just going against the grain and calling people to repentance. So I believe this is a picture for us of where we're going to be in the end. The people of God are going to be full of love. There's going to be just a fullness of love. People are going to refer to themselves as a friend of the bridegroom. They're going to see themselves as friends of the bridegroom, but they're also going to have this tenacity. They're going to have this fierceness against just going with the flow of the world. Mm-hmm. And so that's John the Baptist. He is countercultural to the hilt. You know, he's going against the grain. And so this is what I love about him, just to be inspired to not just go with the flow. And we also, you know, see with John the Baptist, as Tally mentioned, he's walking in the spirit and power of Elijah. And we can look at these two characters, John the Baptist and Elijah, and see some similarities. One is that John the Baptist, he's opposed by Herodias and Herod. And we look back at Elijah, and he is opposed by Ahab and Jezebel. So let's just compare these two stories. For one, John the Baptist, he is calling out immorality with Herod. He's saying, Herod, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. He calls it out, Herod, that's not right. And it took a lot of guts because Herod was known for his brutality. But John the Baptist was not really concerned about that, evidently. He was not concerned about the cost, what it would cost him to stand for righteousness. He calls it out and lands him in prison. And then we know the story. He's in prison and then someone sends for his head, right? Salome, Herodias' daughter, does this dance, and Herod says, what do you want? You know, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. She goes and asks her mom, you know, what should I ask him? And she says, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And so this spirit that Herodias is walking, she hates this prophetic man of God and is in this kind of immoral type of environment. She's, you know, committed adultery against her husband. She's an immoral woman. And she's just this hatred for righteousness, a hatred for John the Baptist. And so now we back up and look at Elijah and John the Baptist and Elijah, you know, two very similar guys calling for repentance, calling God's people back to him. And we look at Elijah, and he has a fierce enemy. It's Jezebel. Jezebel hates Elijah's guts, wants to see him dead. And we can look at, you know, Jezebel. She comes from the city of Sidon. It was a Canaanite city. And we know historically that the Canaanites were very immoral. And we even see this, you know, in the scriptural text. We see that Jezebel, we see here in 2 Kings 9:22, just a reference to the immorality of Jezebel. It says, "Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu." So Jehu's going after Jezebel, right? So Joram sees Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" He's wondering, are you coming peacefully?" So he answered, "What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many." So we see here that Jehu recognizes that Jezebel, one, she's walking in witchcraft, and the next one, she's walking in harlotry, which is immorality, being a harlot, right? So this is something that Jezebel is walking in. And also, we can see from the story of Naboth's vineyard, right? Ahab is walking around. He's just sullen, mourning. He's in a bad mood. And Jezebel's like, "What's the matter?" You know, he said, "Well, I really want this guy's vineyard." And Jezebel's like, "I get it for you." So she goes and, you know, does this whole deal where she ends up killing Naboth and stealing his vineyard. And so we know that she's walking in witchcraft. She's walking in harlotry. She's also walking in theft and murder. And if we look in Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, these are the four defining sins of the end times. These are the four defining sins that are going to mark the lawless generation of the end times. We see at Revelation 9:21, it says, "And they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries," which is witchcraft, "of their sexual immorality, and of their thefts." Every one of these major sins that Jezebel is walking in are also going to be really big sins in the end times. And if you got your eyes open out there, you've noticed that these sins are really on the rise. There is a huge increase in sexual morality, sorceries, thefts, all these different things. Just as a little side point, most every Walt Disney movie that comes out, as far as just the children, it seems so innocent, just children movies, you know, Peter Pan, all these other ones.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah, Little Mermaid, Lion Jungle King, Book. Every one of those movies has some scene in it where there's sorcery involved, where there's some sort of connecting to an outside power, and it's not the God of the Bible. And so it's almost priming a generation to be connected to a spirituality that has nothing to do with the God of the Bible, and that's what you call sorcery. Mm-hmm. It's what you call witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And so it seems so innocent, so, you know, just, you know, like, what's the big deal? But yet, if you see the stats today, there are so many young people that are getting involved in witchcraft and sorcery. And so just as a side note, so Jezebel, we see it here, is saying she's got, there's witchcraft, there's sorcery, there's all these things, immorality, all go hand in hand. And this is what we're up against. This is what John the Baptist and Elijah, the spirit that is upon them, is calling these things out, saying this is not right. This is not a part of the worship of the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. And calling people to repent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, it's so such a heavy subject, such a weighty thing, just being able to stand in this generation that's facing this. It is a, you know, it's a strong spirit, and we see even Elijah. Elijah was a mighty man of God, right? I mean, we look at Elijah and we're like, man, he was a tough guy, right? Mm-hmm. But even he was scared of Jezebel, uh-huh. Right? Like he actually ran from Jezebel at times.
Yeah, after this mighty, you know, power struggle, you know, who's going to be God? The God who answers by fire. And so right? This whole thing, and God comes down in his fiery presence and, you know, kills all the prophets of Baal. Elijah takes out the prophets of Baal, and then Jezebel said, "I'm coming after you, Elijah. I'm going to kill you." He runs. He's like, "What? What? You just took out all these prophets of Baal, and now you're afraid of Jezebel?" Right. But it's a potent, as you're saying, it's a potent spiritual battle that's going on.
Yeah.
And it's trying to cripple this prophetic power.
Right. And so I just wanted to read from Proverbs 6 here. In Proverbs 6, there's this passage. It's from verse 20 to 26 here. And I love this passage because it's directly dealing with the spirit of Elijah from verse 20 to 23. And then we've got from verse 24 to 26, it's explaining why the spirit of Elijah, it is so important to align yourself with the spirit of Elijah. It's because the opposing force, this spirit of Jezebel, this seductive, adulterous spirit, it's after you. And the thing that is going to give you victory is what is aligning yourself with the spirit of Elijah, with the spirit of God. That's where you're going to have the strength to overcome the spirit. And the spirit is after your life, wants to see you dead. Mm-hmm. and so it's, you know, it's a big thing to, you know, this is something we have to oppose with everything in us.
Yeah, and I would just add too, it's it wants to see you dead. It also wants to see the generations dead.
Yes.
You know, uh-huh. It's not content just to take you out. It wants to make sure that it does not proceed past your generation.
Yeah. And I also, as we're talking about this, I also just want to bring to mind again that our warfare is not against flesh and blood.
Right.
And it's against powers and principalities and stuff. And so we're talking about spiritual realities here. We aren't talking about people there are people. As people, we align ourselves with the spiritual forces in this world. And so we have to be careful as ourselves where we're aligning ourselves, what spirit we are agreeing with.
Right. As David said, renew a right spirit in me.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm going to read here, just the beginning here, Proverbs 20. My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. So we see here, we're talking about the spirit of Elijah, right? Turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. And it continues there to talk about just the importance of this, turning your hearts to your fathers and the fathers to the sons. And then we get to verse 24, and this is why we have to embrace the spirit of Elijah. 24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. So it's saying here, you know, at the end, an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. This is the end goal of the spirit of Jezebel, this harlotry spirit. The spirit wants to see death and destruction. It wants to see the ruining of families. It wants to see men that are supposed to be in power and doing righteous things. It wants to see them cut down, reduced to a piece of bread. Mm-hmm. And so, so this is something we have to really be aware of. And I just, you know, I want to just point it out that this culture is one that is, embracing, the spirit of the world. And we can see that all over, in our culture today.
You see anywhere there's confusion.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's the defining trait of this deal.
Right. Yeah, and we see this this seductive spirit, you know, it's what the world thrives on. And, you know, I think that God has given us as women, he's given us I don't know how to say it other than like a power, like a strength. He's given women strength. And it's to be yielded to his will and to be used for his glory, to build people up, to be a strength to our husbands, to be a pillar. Like it says, the daughters being a pillar to our fathers and our households. But then if it gets warped though, and if we align ourselves with this harlotry spirit, what it does is it uses this power to see a man reduced to a crust of bread. And so we see that all over in our culture today. We see it on billboards. We see this seductive spirit. I mean, you can't, you know, the internet, you know, it's all over everywhere you go. You can't get out of your house without running into magazines and pictures and people that are wanting to dress like this. You know, it's like, this is the way I want to look, is I want to look like the people on the billboard. They look, you know, this is, and you know, not everyone understands what it is when they start looking like these movie stars and these billboard pictures and stuff. But there's an aligning with this spirit that is so destructive. And so it's something that we, I feel like, especially as women, that we just need to be so guarded on in our decisions for what we are aligning ourselves to.
I just want to add too, I think one of the reasons you're so passionate about this, Tally, is just you've seen both sides in some ways. Like, you've lived in both worlds, mm-hmm. and you've seen how it's not been productive. It's not been fruitful to be in that path with the world and the way that the world views these things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll get into more of my testimony at another time, but I actually have a degree in fashion design, which I got from New York City. And if you want to, you know, understand what I'm talking about a little bit more, you can walk up the streets of Times Square and all the places in New York City where the spirit is so prevalent, and there's just so much destruction. And so, you know, being, like Brayden said, being in that world, in such an extreme way, and then, praise God, being brought out of that world, and being able to see it for what it is, just realizing just how important it is that we need to wake up to this. Mm-hmm. We need to wake up to the war that is at hand, to the opposing force, and be able to stand strong in the place where God's called us. Because a lot of people are sucked into this. Like, you know, any person in their right mind would go, well, yeah, I don't want to be a crust of bread. I don't want to be, or I don't even want to make a person a crust of bread, mm-hmm. right? Like, I don't want to prey upon anyone's life. You know, like, no one, I don't think there's a whole lot of people out there that are out there with some evil intentions of aligning them. You know what I mean? Like, there's
very small percentage would have like a devilish desire to destroy people.
Right. But this is the scheme of the enemy, because what happens is we have these, you know, movie stars and billboards out there, and we have our, you know, little children, our 5 and 6 year olds that are, you know, looking up to these people, and they want to be like them, and they want to dress like them. They want to do what they're doing. They want to dance like them. They want to, you know, it's all these things. And so what ends up happening is that, you know, it brings a whole culture into this whole spirit thing. And so it takes a people that can wake up to what's happening and say, wow, we need to really press in for this generation, that there are John the Baptists that are raised up in this culture and able to call things what they are, and say, wow, like, this is, we cannot align ourselves with the Hollywood culture. We can't align ourselves with the fashion world that the fashion world is thriving on, is on this seductive kind of spirit. And so, you know, like I said, it takes someone being able to say, wake up, mm-hmm. World, do not be dragged into this destructive place. So,
yeah. And the huge deception today is people are redefining what love is. They would have looked at John the Baptist and said, John, you know, do you really love Herod? You know, how could you call out his sin if you really loved him? You know, but that's not the spirit of John the Baptist, not the spirit of Elijah, mm-hmm. you know, and it just another fascinating point on the spirit of Elijah. Who else in the Bible do we see as having a spirit with them? You know, you don't have the spirit of Zechariah, spirit of Isaiah, mm-hmm. spirit of Moses, but Elijah, something about Elijah, that this referred to as the spirit of Elijah. Mm-hmm. So there's something significant there, and it's something that we want to walk in. You know, we don't want to be just apathetic and just yielding to whatever our society's norms, you know, whatever society says is normal. Mm-hmm. We want to be committed to the Word of God and faithful in that place, and not be hypocrites in that place. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be true inside and out. That's the call. You know, we go through struggles. We have challenges in this world, but our core cry needs to be, God, please, I want to be used by you. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage you, if you're out there and you're struggling in these areas, Mm-hmm. No, the Holy Spirit is so powerful. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit can crush every single bit of darkness in your life. Mm-hmm. And you just got to yield. You have to yield your life to God. Mm-hmm. And God, by His Holy Spirit, will crush the works of darkness.
Right.
And, don't be overwhelmed. You know, this mm-hmm. we can sometimes get an overwhelming picture of the work of the enemy. He's got a lot of inroads in our culture. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome every obstacle. Mm-hmm. So we need to be encouraged to do that.
Yeah. And I just, it is so important too, that, to, as we, wake up to these things and stuff, to take on that humility as well of Yeshua, because without the Holy Spirit, without this humble approach, understanding that the only reason we're able to even walk in the spirit of Elijah is because of Yeshua in us. I think if we can embrace those things, that we are so much more effective in this, as far as just being able to speak in love and be that voice. Because there is a place, it takes so much love to be able to wake people up.
Right.
And so that's what we need to pray, is for that humility, for the Holy Spirit, and for the love of God to fill us up, that we are able to walk as John the Baptist in this culture, waking up a people to the reality of what's around
right.
us.
Right, yeah, I fully believe that John the Baptist and Elijah, they loved the people so much mm-hmm. that they did not want to see them walk in the destructive path of sin. Mm-hmm. That's the deal, is that God wants to so much deliver us from those sins, those destructive patterns, so that we can be free. We see it, it was not just a thing in the ancient time, Elijah, and that not just in John the Baptist day, but we even go forward in Revelation, years ahead, and we see that they're dealing with the same thing. It's not just in certain times in history, but this is pretty much an ongoing battle. We see in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "But this I have against you," is speaking to the church in Thyatira, "that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, yet she is teaching and deceiving my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat foods sacrificed to idols." And so here we see even the word tolerate, like Yeshua is rebuking the church at Thyatira for even tolerating this presence of Jezebel. And because he's saying, this is so destructive to their lives. And it goes on and it, gets even more severe. It's like, if she does not repent, she's going to be cast them into a sick bed. It's like, wow, he's giving even her an opportunity to repent of this immorality. But if she doesn't, there's going to be severe consequences. Mm-hmm. And that's the gravity. That's the weightiness of what our culture is facing. God has allowed us time. He said, okay, there's time to repent of these things, but if we don't repent, there's going to be severe consequences. Mm-hmm. And so we should have, I just want to encourage all those that are listening, don't even tolerate this presence of Jezebel in your life. I'm saying there's some areas in American culture where it's tolerated to the point where it's even invited. It's invited into homes. People are watching movies, they're watching shows, inviting this presence of seduction into their homes. And that's even more than tolerating, it's actually inviting it. So I want to encourage you to uninvite this this spiritual presence into your homes, into your life, the music that you listen to, the videos you watch, that this presence will be uninvited from your life. And you say, God, I want to be committed to walking in the spirit of Elijah, that is about preparing the way for your return. And that's what I want to be totally given to. I want nothing to do with anything apart from that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up here. And we just pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray as we are finishing up our Omer counting here, as we're leading up to Shavuot, just for a new impouring of the Holy Spirit, that we would be able to all take up this call and be faithful in our generation, that we would not take it lightly. The time that we were born, the place that God's put us, and the things that He's revealed to us, and that we would take it with fully, and that we would cry out for this infilling of the Holy Spirit, that we'd be able to walk it out, that we would have the strength to walk it out.
Amen.
So we bless you all, and we will see you next week.